This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Sight Unseen Aotearoa, brought to you by VICTA, Visual Impairment Charitable Trust Aotearoa, with the support of Otago Polytechnic. Over the next half hour, everyday Kiwis with failing eyesight will be discussing the challenges of living active, independent lives in the community. They will share with us the information, support and practical know-hows they've discovered on their long and winding sight loss journeys.
Kia ora and welcome to Sight Unseen Aotearoa. My name is Carly Parker and today I'm interviewing the wonderful Mary Butler.
Thank you, Carly. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. This has been a show that I've personally wanted to do for quite a while now, Mary. So it's awesome to actually have you on the other side of the show. So I first met Mary probably about 5 years ago now, when we were both at Otago Polytechnic. And since our first meeting, we've struck some wonderful conversations, learned a lot about ourselves, both personally and professionally, and worked together on a number of projects. So I am going to take the liberty of asking you some of the questions that you've asked me. So my first question for you, Mary, is tell me a wee bit about yourself and your journey.
Oh, thank you, Carly. I've really enjoyed working with you over the years. So I'm going to tell a little bit about myself as in relation to low vision, because this is what this Sight Unseen Aotearoa is all about. And so for the last probably 10 years, I've been very involved with the Vision Impairment Charitable Trust Aotearoa with the wonderful Lindley Hood in Dunedin. And during that time, I've set up a postgraduate course because we could see the need for more education for occupational therapists. That was for postgraduate students. We've set up lots of placements for students. We've done loads of projects, small projects, like, for example, the lighting project where we helped older people to read light bulbs. We ran a huge interdisciplinary seminar in 2018, which brought people from all over the country, lots of different professional groups. We've been running a vision screening for children project. So this radio show became one of the many things that we did in VICTA. And it was a response to COVID. So my part in this has been as an educator. So I was employed for many years at Otago Polytech as an occupational therapy lecturer and then professor. And now, of course, I've moved to Adelaide, where I'm also head of a program of occupational therapy and professor of occupational therapy. So that's a little bit about myself.
Awesome. Thank you. So you touched on the history of VICTA. Can you share a wee bit more about that and what drives you in that space? What's your why, I guess, when it comes to VICTA?
Look, when I started this, I had absolutely no intention of getting into visual impairment. But my philosophy as an occupational therapist is to do what's needed and to fill the gaps that are there. And when I met VICTA, when I encountered VICTA, it completely convinced me that there was real work to be done in New Zealand in this area. And, of course, one thing led to another. So the why just keeps answering itself because it needs to be done. And that's why I do it, because it needs to be done and because it's been great fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always important to have an element of fun in there. So going back to the radio show, Sight Unseen, what is the history behind that?
Okay, well, of course, COVID happened in 2020 and we were in the process of planning our support group in Dunedin and we had a whole year planned out and COVID happened and basically it meant that the support group wasn't going to be able to continue. Nobody was able to come into physical spaces And we wanted to find a response to that. So we just had a bit of a brainstorm, as Lindley and I in particular. And we thought, well, what is the one thing that people are going to be doing in this time? They will be online. But what do people with low vision do? They are potentially listening to the radio. And we decided to do something that was live, that was actually going out across the bandwidth in Dunedin. And we got together with Otago Access Radio, and they agreed to run the show for us and to help us to get it on air. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It's awesome. And it just goes to show what can come out of, you know, such a challenging time. This beautiful thing that you and Lindley have created has created so much connection and within our community in Dunedin and wider. And a lot has changed for you since then as well. What's been happening for you now?
Well, I want to talk to you about what's been happening is that I've ended up taking this job in Adelaide. But you're right, it was such a journey last year for all of us. And I suppose that's kind of this radio show and the journey with Victor is all part of my journey and has been for so many years. And things changed so much during last year. There was, you know, there was lockdown and then there was opening out, and but the radio show kept going and it generated a kind of energy all of its own. And you're right, Carly, it was started off very much as a local thing to keep us together during the time that we couldn't be together. And what we discovered was that we very rapidly moved to beyond Dunedin to want to connect with other groups around New Zealand. So we ended up talking to people in Retina, Focus, all kinds of groups and individuals around New Zealand. And then we started to go international and we found that we were talking to people in the UK and in Canada and that our show was being picked up in different places. So it just developed a life of its own and kept going. Yeah.
That's awesome, eh? From one wee bubble to floating around all around the world, connecting people with real stories. And yeah, I've listened to each show and it's phenomenal what you learn from one another, and whether or not it's connecting from a low vision point of view or from a professional point of view. It's lovely to hear people's stories in a different format that people can really connect with and resonate with. So it's been great learning for myself and no doubt for you as well. And I wonder what motivates you to continue now that you're changing direction in, well, where you're working and living and everything like that. How are you finding the motivation to carry on with Sight Unseen? Where do you find it fitting within your community now?
Well, it never necessarily fits anywhere until I discover how that is. And in New Zealand, it was very much part of my work with students. And I've always had this thing where I do what I can where I am, and I know I can't do much more than that. So within New Zealand, it was a wonderful thing to keep my students connected with the real world and also for me to keep connected with the community of people that I really cared for. I love what I've learned from doing this, and I think that it has a life and I believe that it will continue. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to do that, Carly. So last year we did it every single week. We kept going. This year, we've decided to slow it down to once a month, as we often, Lindley and I, find that we have a really fast, intense year, and then we have a slower year. So we've decided that this year is going to be a slower year, and we will just allow this to be an exploration of how we keep the community connected. And I suppose, even though I'm not in New Zealand, I still feel very connected to that community. And I still feel really sad that our support group has never actually got back on its feet again after the lockdown. And I think a lot of volunteers and support groups will have found this after 2020, that losing the energy that is built up, and also losing the reason to come together in that particular way is going to take some mending, and it's going to take some healing to be able to get it back together again. And I feel that the radio show is a way to keep the identity of Victor going over this time until we can find what our response is going to be. And hopefully it will be back to grassroots work on the local ground, and I will find then what the equivalent is over here. But at the moment, it's this bridge from one year into the next.
I'm so happy that you're continuing to keep this going. I think, you know, for the people that do tune in, at, you know, there's such a great space for learning and just a safe space to really connect with one another. I wonder, what has been your biggest learning through this?
Oh, I have to say that the first learning was the technology. Because, you know, the whole world went on to Zoom, and I was a big fan of Zoom back then. I don't know if I still am. But everybody thought that we could do everything by Zoom. And I very quickly realized that actually, if you're going to include people with low vision and people who are 98 in the conversation, you can't expect everybody to be on the computer. So the first part of the learning journey was to find a way to ensure that we could get a radio show that would allow us to record telephone conversations as well as Zoom conversations, and that would also allow us to bring together older people on the telephone with people who are also online in Zoom or in Teams. And Eventually we managed to find some solutions for that, which I have to thank the Polytech for. Or maybe loops and hoops or gaps in their systems that allowed me to figure these things out. But that was some of my really first important learning. Just the technology to make the show work in a way that was inclusive. The other things have been every month or so, we tend to start off different themes. So we started off with themes about food. I learned so much from the people I interviewed, and I think in that way it's still fulfilling the same role that the support group did for me as an occupational therapist. I'm still learning from the people on the ground. And as an occupational therapist, I think my job is, or any occupational therapist job, is to walk with people who have got chronic conditions. And so low vision is a chronic, it's an ongoing something that people live with. And as an occupational therapist, I need to understand the things that might pragmatically help people. And if I don't listen to the kinds of solutions that are come up with, I have nothing to teach, and I have nothing to really help us as therapists to invest in helping people more generally. So I've learned so much along the way. I have to say, Carly, though, one of the things I was really surprised with was that a lot of our interviewees were people who identified as being blind rather than low vision. And at first I was really struggling with that, because I thought this is a show for people with low vision. But what I realized very rapidly was that everybody, nearly everybody who identifies as blind, has also had a low vision journey. And because they've traveled this journey, they're also deeply articulate about what that actually means, that journey, what it actually means to have low vision. And then often the relief, which is really amazing for me to understand this a bit more, the relief of finally letting go of the sighted world for so many people, that can be, so that was real learning for me to watch and to listen closely to that. So they would be some of the things that I've learned along the way.
Wow, Mary, what a brilliant answer. Thank you so much for sharing that. I absolutely resonate with letting go of the sighted world and just making peace with my own world and the world around me, I guess. And yeah, it's phenomenal learning, and it never ends when you're open to continual learning and growth like that. And my last question for you would be, what are you curious about at the moment?
Oh, I'm curious about what the need is in front of me at the moment. I'm really curious about how I'm going to create placements for students that meet real needs. And I'm hoping that what I've learned from Victor along the way will really help me to do that in ways that are addressing the needs of the community in very real ways. So I think that's probably my biggest curiosity at the moment. I'm also, of course, curious about everything, and especially the research that I'm always invested in. So one of the research projects that I'm still going with is the screening project that we started in New Zealand. And that has actually, just this week, we had the first workshop for the Vision 2020 project, where we're teaching children to screen each other's vision. So in the classroom setting, we're learning to get the children to screen each other as a way of building awareness in the classroom setting. And that's been, it's been quite a journey. That one has been a 2-year journey for me, because again, something that my students identified was that I had just thought the problems were mostly with older people. I had no idea how much of an issue it was for children to get adequate screening. And my students did a little project a couple of years ago which demonstrated that that children, even after they had been screened, were still ending up with problems a year later, and they hadn't been to the optometrist. So we ran that project for the last year and a half, investigating with Tahuna what are the issues for children in that context. And we did a real co-creation and participatory project with them, where the children came up with the flip chart that we use, and they've just recently made a beautiful little video to go with it to teach people how to use it. And it's also gone live on the Science Learning Hub, and we're just about to run a webinar as well. So I'm really curious about, I suppose, different ways we could potentially meet the need for identifying when people have low vision and then finding ways to help them. And one of the things I learned during the year was interviewing a series of optometrists and other people who are interested in this area. There are various solutions out there, but I think we're going to have to really work hard to find a way that New Zealand can solve its problems in that area. So I think that raising awareness and helping teachers to understand the issues, giving them the language, but within a curriculum setting, not trying to burden teachers any more than we have to. We don't want teachers to turn into health professionals, but they're the people who are right there at the coalface, and they can potentially identify when children are having problems with learning. So there's always the next question, Carly. There's always the next thing that I'm looking at. So I'm really interested to know, can we find a way to find solutions that are grassroots but also national responses to the problems that low vision causes? And there's so much work to be done all over the place, both for young and old people. There is so much work that I hope will draw people into this space.
Amazing. Thank you. I agree, there is always learning to be done in so many different ways and spaces. And it's all about that collaboration and connectedness and the trust to want to figure out different ways and have that collaboration. It does take time and space and a lot of energy on people's parts, but there's a lot of need for it. So yeah, I love that you're curious about that. But yeah, that's all my questions for you, Mary. Thank you so much for joining us on Sight Unseen. Really appreciate your time and your insights, and thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much, Carly, and we'll look forward to next month. Thank you.
You've been listening to Sight Unseen Aotearoa. enabling Kiwis with low vision to lead active, independent and productive lives. Podcasts of this episode and others in the series are available from the ORFM Dunedin website, oar.org.nz. If you have any question about today's discussion or any ideas for future episodes, please contact Victor, Visual Impairment Charitable Trust Aotearoa, on 0800 20 66 20. Or email inquiries@visualimpairment.org.nz. This program has been made possible with the support of Otago Polytechnic.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.